He sanctioned the picking of corn. When in the Old Testament, it was a sin to even look for manna on the Sabbath. So seeing all these talking about these apostles and whatever you believed, okay. The primary focus of this chapter is the resurrection of the dead. Now we're going to get into it. And but part of the gospel is not that Jesus died, but also that he rose again. The resurrection is as important as his death, because his death, yeah, he spilled his blood and pays for your sins. But it's like, because it pays for your sins that are past. He's the propitiation of his sins that are past. It was actually for the remission of sins that are past, that we could be free. But also he says, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin, and the servant does not abide in the house forever. Whoever serves sin does not inherit eternal life, but the Son abideth forever. You have to become a son of God to live forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will make you free, you will be free indeed. But most people today teach that the freedom that Jesus grants is a theoretical freedom, meaning you believe, God writes it down in a book somewhere, and you live your life in bondage to sin. That's why you have so much hypocrisy in Christianity. It's disgusting, and people see this, and they think, by reason of them, the way of truth is evil spoken of. But Jesus promised to make us free indeed. That's what I mean. We've got to believe to something effective. The grace of God can't be bestowed in vain. What? God gives us grace? He gives us favor? What? To do what? To be a bunch of laughingstocks? To be a bunch of hypocrites? Is that what we believed for? So we could just... Hypocrisy! Hey! We're all doing it! It's disgusting. So let's go into this issue of the resurrection of the dead, because it's important. And I was likening that. Why, Paul? Would you digress? It's like, no. What was all that about? Well, the idea of being made free and being, you know, as we were buried with him in baptism, we are raised with him in newness of life, which means that, you know, the resurrection, the newness of life that comes, is a life of freedom from sin. Not just in a theoretical sense, but in an indeed sense, in a real sense. If you aren't really free from sin, you're not really free. Because you're committing, you know, whoever commits sin serves sin. So if I commit sin, I'm serving it. I won't live forever if I serve sin. I must not serve sin. How am I going to do that? By the grace of God. By believing God, and then he's got to give it to me. The Son's got to make me free. I can't make myself free. What am I going to do? I'm like a slave in chains. You know, if the slaves want to be free, let them free themselves. That's what Lincoln should have said, you know. Hey, Emancipation Proclamation, just throw off your own shackles. Some did, you know, right? Hey, you know, they got AA, there's other ways, right? But to be totally free, to be totally righteous in a way that is acceptable to God, requires nothing short of miraculous power. That's what it means, real power. I could sit up here and give you, you know, BS, and just, till the day is done. If there's no power in it, you know, and that's who I speak for. I speak to people who can believe this and receive power to do it. If you believe what I say and you don't obtain the power to do it, then you've believed in vain and I've preached in vain. So now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, verse 12, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Jesus Christ has to be raised for me to be free from sin. In the theoretical sense, and you know, in the sense of what they call it, imputation, which means it's going to be reckoned to you, meaning God reckons you. He reckons you righteous before you actually become righteous. But that does not mean that that promise is of none effect, that you shouldn't actually receive it. It just means that is the means by which, you know, he has to wipe out your past, because he can't stop you from doing your past. Well, he could, I suppose, but he'd have to do it before the fact, not after. That's not how he wanted to do it, I suppose. I know, because that's what it is. It is what it is. I am what I am, by the grace of God. Either to deceive you, or to bring you the truth. That's the way all people who take up the Bible or anything, all they are is they are either there to deceive or to bring the truth. And they themselves, though they think they know, they don't really know which. You know, everyone earnestly believes that what they're doing is bringing you the truth. We all want to be of the truth. Who wants to be of a lie? I spread lies. I know. Who would knowingly do that? Well, there's some people who would knowingly do some things, right? I know there's some cynical preachers out there who delude people. Most of them are sincere, but you know what? They're sincerely deceived. Either that or I am. So we see that, you know, this is kind of a, to me, this is like, okay, who says, you know, among Christians I've known, who denies the resurrection? There's no resurrection of the dead. Well, you know, in a way they do. I tell you they do. The resurrection of the dead is supposed to be something that happens at the end of time. At the end of the age, whatever. It is something that happens in the future. But some people say the resurrection even now has come, as Paul spoke of it in his other epistles, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, and you can look that up. They say the resurrection is already come, or is now come, depending on how you translate it. They said the resurrection was already happening. And to me, the way in which people do that is when they say, when you die, you go through a transition and you go to heaven. And it's all these near-death experiences. Death is blackness and darkness. That is exactly what death is, and that is what humans instinctively know death is, until people give them fairy tales and tell them otherwise. Death is just like it looks. You're dead. You're done. You're finished. You're out. It is only that God has the power to actually bring things back from the dead, because he can do anything. He's God, right? He can raise things from the dead.